Not unlike Paul, who journeyed far to share the good news, today we set sail from White Cottage and took a straight course to New Concord, the following day to Nashport, and from there to Zanesville, which is a leading city of the county of Muskingum in Ohio. On this Sabbath day, we are gathering uphill from the river in a place which we know as a place of prayer. Let us stand as we are able and call ourselves to worship. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its seed. God has blessed. May God continue to bless us. All the ends of the earth revere him. Our hymn is number 263. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Let us confess your sins, and God will forgive you. Peace." Loving God, we confess that we are an anxious people who deny your blessing and fail to keep your word. Forgive us, we pray, for these and all the sins, that we might live in peace and reflect your love the world. Through Jesus Christ. Let your hearts be still, for God loves you and forgives all your wrongdoing.
Thanks be to
God. Beloved, receive the peace of Christ. May his peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share this peace with all you meet. You can begin by waving or nodding to those around you.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to your spiritual truths. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Father, and our hope is in you all day long. Our gospel lesson this morning is found in John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29, and it can be found on page 109. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you will rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe."
Thank you, choir. And collected musicians, all. Speaking of musicians, Kathy's students had a recital here this week, and boy, did they rock it. It was great.
They did.
We have had a lot of activity in this building lately. It's a good thing. Our second reading is a travelogue, and it picks up where I left off with Olivia just a little bit ago. Let us hear what happens as Paul travels throughout the world. From Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and during the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira, and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, going by the thermometer the last couple of days, not so much today, you would have thought it was summer, right? And this travelogue that documents Paul's faith journey also makes us think of summer. After all, that is when most mission trips are offered for church youth. And mission trips are a great time. While a lot of hard work is involved, time is always set aside for fun and fellowship, just with the rest of the crew and sometimes with those who live in the area where we are serving. I miss those adventures and meeting new friends in Christ. Maybe some of you do too, yes? But I rather doubt that what any of us think of as a mission trip is much like the mission Paul is undertaking in this reading. Though Luke makes it sound as though the journey happened over an extended weekend, Phrygia, Bithynia, Troas, all of those towns, they are hundreds of miles from one another, and even further from Paul's starting point, Antioch. When you think about it, Paul wasn't really on a mission work trip as much as a worshipful spiritual pilgrimage, kind of like the one that people who follow the 500-mile Camino de Santiago in Spain take on. Those who make such a walk do so as a spiritual discipline that builds trust and confidence in God. They're taking time to worship God in the silence of the hills and listen for the Holy Spirit's direction for their lives. Believe it or not, the first pilgrims walked the Camino in the 800s. Their walk took them to the Santiago Cathedral, where legend says the bones of St. James have been laid to rest. Now, surprisingly, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims are now making that journey. Maybe not every year, but certainly tens of thousands. The route offers long stretches of silence, as well as occasional companions with whom you might talk about your faith journeys, all while carrying 40-pound packs on your back. Just thinking about that hike makes me ache a bit. Paul must have been achy from walking such distances, weary and dust-covered too. But like those pilgrims, the man was following an invitation God had placed before him, so he pushed on. I have yet to make a true pilgrimage to share my faith with other journeyers, but like some of you, I like to hike. And at the end of the day on a trail, I simply want a shower, a hearty meal, and a soft bed. Paul probably wanted these things too, but try though he might, the Holy Spirit barred him from stopping to tell Jesus' story in the Asian regions of Galatia and Mysia. Luke doesn't tell us, but I suspect comfy inns where a good night's rest could be had weren't available to him either. So he pushed on to Troas. And there, God sent him a vision. Remember how the angel told Cornelius to seek out the man named Simon so he could hear the story of Jesus? Well, this time, a man from Macedonia begs Paul to come and help them with their faith. So Paul pushes on, this time across the sea to Neapolis, and then by foot to Philippi. In Macedonia. Now, Philippi was a Roman outpost on an important crossroads. Merchants from the east would travel back and forth to the west with spices and gold and whatever, and major battles had been fought there. And the settlers, they were all Roman warriors who had been sent by Alexander the Great himself to ensure Roman law and order was not merely followed, but celebrated. To Alexander, this region where east and west could be joined together was someplace special. It was where he could make two worlds one. Now Paul, astute Roman citizen that he was, would be aware of that thought. Being a faithful Christian, he must have wondered if God was calling him to make the entire world one for Christ. Perhaps the man of his vision was to be the key. And though Paul waited several days for the man to appear, he never showed up. How disheartening. Paul has traveled across a continent. He began in Asia, and now he's in Europe. He was going to tell whomever God sent him the story of the Lord. But shut out in the regions that were closer to his home, he began to think that this town had also closed, was also closed off to him. Some mission, huh? Some pilgrimage. Well, another Sabbath dawned, and Paul knew the rules of true Roman towns like this. Those who chose to follow a religion that was not state-supported wouldn't have buildings in which to praise their gods. And Judaism was not a Roman religion. It was tolerated, but not sanctioned. So Paul and his traveling companions did as they had on Sabbaths throughout the trip. They went down to the river to pray. And there she was, the woman named Lydia. Her attire made it clear that she was a woman of wealth and power. But she sat with the other women from all kinds of walks of life, all who worshiped the God of the Israelites, the God who had called Paul into service. So Paul had a choice to make. He could either follow Roman and Jewish customs, which said no man should speak to a woman not of his house, especially in public, or he could share God's good news with her. Remember, Jesus regularly spoke to women who weren't members of his family. The woman at the well, the bent over woman, the woman who anointed him with oil before his crucifixion are just three of these women. Now, Paul very much wanted to fulfill the mission that God had sent him on. He was excited about Jesus' teaching. He was thrilled to know that through faith, anyone could be reunited with the Lord in life everlasting. He talked with Lydia. And she became excited and asked to be baptized into this new faith. And then she called her entire household to be baptized also. Lydia knew this meeting heralded the beginning of a whole new way of life for her and her loved ones. Her thirst for greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus felt unquenchable. She desperately wanted to know more. So she invited this pilgrim and his companions to be guests in her home, to remain with her household while they continued to share Jesus' story with others in the area. What a surprise. No one knew anything about the other ones. I mean, you know, Lydia didn't know Paul from Adam, and Paul and his gang did not know the household, for heaven's sakes. Plus, back in Roman times, just as in today's world, hospitality was a private matter, only extended to people like yourself in terms of status and class. Still, her invitation must have felt wonderful to the little band of travelers. Finally, they could enjoy a hearty meal and a soft bed. But Lydia's invitation represents much more than an offer of good accommodations. Her hospitality is really an outpouring of joy and a sharing of the abundance of honest, authentic life, which comes from knowing Jesus Christ. You see, Christian hospitality, like other Christian practices, springs from a deep desire to express the love of Christ to all you meet. And it's shared publicly, not privately like the Romans. It includes people from every walk of life. And this ensures Christ's body will be visible to the world. Lydia's hospitality would result in Christian fellowship. Relationships would grow through the bonds of faith. And through those relationships, everyone's lives would be transformed. People who bought purple fabric from her shop might see differences in her ways. They might ask about the changes they noticed, and Lydia or her family could tell them about Jesus. Through such nurture, faith would flourish and grow strong. And all of this comes about because God had given Paul a vision that invited him to travel to a distant and little-known land. Over the course of his faith pilgrimage, Paul followed that vision. In worship of his God, he walked hundreds of miles to reach the people God had sent him to serve. The walk and the work were hard. People in several regions had turned him down, but he stayed the course. And when an opportunity finally was presented, Paul made a difficult choice that challenged cultural norms. This pilgrim of faith followed Jesus' way. In turn, hospitality was offered, new relationships were formed, and lives were forever changed. Journeys like this are never easy. Yet, like walking the Camino de Santiago, when we take on a mission from God, we discover many challenges along the way. But when we meet our Lydias, we also find many joys in sharing our faith in Christ with them. Now, yesterday, members of this church offered hospitality to our shut-ins by visiting them and singing to them. The almost summer-like warmth encouraged everyone to visit outside on the host's porches. And at one of those places, a curious little neighbor boy shyly came out to listen. And later, our host said to me, "I wonder what this public visit will lead to for our little friend. What questions will he ask, and what can we tell him about our faith?" Indeed, how might our visit transform his life? How might it transform our lives? The thing of it is, for these wondrous things to happen, like Paul, we must be willing to accept the mission that God sets before us. And we have to be open to the changes that will happen as a result of taking any pilgrimage of faith. For whenever we connect with new and different people, our lives will be transformed, especially when Jesus is involved. And it's with that in mind that I say thanks be to God for the gifts of mission and hospitality. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 326. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Hey, please join me in our Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 14 in our hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Let us now join our hearts together and lift them up to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and gracious God, God whose giving knows no ending, you have given us beautiful days, green grass and trees, scarlet cardinals, rain and sun, moon and stars, things of beauty and wonder. And you have also given us our families and our friends, things of beauty, relationships of wonder. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for these gifts and for so many more things that we name in our hearts. We ask that you hear us now as we pray. O Lord, we lift up to you today the earth. We are grateful for the changing of the seasons, for the rains which nourish the ground, for people like farmers and others who steward the grounds so that they might bear fruit for you to feed people. Bless them and bless the earth that it may be productive and still remain healthy. We pray too for people of all countries and all places. We pray for their leaders. We pray for the people. We ask that you give all nations wisdom and a love for peace, for the ability to work with one another to find common good. We pray too for those who suffer amidst violence conditions. We continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and elsewhere in the world where guns are destroying life. Oh Lord, we also pray for the victims of the disasters of nature. We especially lift up to you today our brothers and sisters of the Grace United Methodist Church in the Coshocton area, whose church building was struck by lightning and severely damaged. Help them to weather this terrible storm and to find support through their friends in faith that lift them up, not just this day, but all days. For we also pray for our brothers and sisters in churches around this region, including down in McConnellsville. Bless their ministries. Help them all to show hospitality to one another and to those around them. And now, Lord, we lift up to you those who are fragile, both of body or of mind. We ask that you continue to bless our homebound, those who are struggling, Ann and Dave, Kathy and Arlene, the Keyses, Jim, Herb, and all who are quietly struggling through the days. We also lift up to you those who we know privately. We ask that you help them. Give them what they need. Lord, we pray that we may continue to be your good and faithful servants, that we may show hospitality in the littlest of ways as well as in the biggest. Help us to reach out to neighbors in need, to show them your love, to build relationships with them. For in so doing, we will be sharing the love of Christ, and perhaps they will ask questions of faith and discover how present you are in their lives. We pray all this as your disciples, your children, who were taught by Jesus himself to say the words, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Please join me in singing "Shall We Gather at the River?" I believe the words might be in your bulletin.
On the backside.
Oh,
Oh, my brothers and sisters, summer is almost here. And whether we travel to distant beaches or remain here in our beautiful county, all of our steps are being guided by God. And we are on a faith pilgrimage. That pilgrimage was designed for us to share our love with anyone we meet and with all we meet. So I invite you to show hospitality to those that you, whose paths you cross. Know that God has sent you to them to share the love of Jesus Christ. And know that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us all together with God and the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen.
David, have a good week.
You almost had that back to
you. I know. Everybody, they got me.